Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gabra.io, and I'm here today with Joe McKinney, the CEO of the Burns Group. Good afternoon in your case, Joe. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. I'm currently CEO of Burns Group, as you mentioned. Prior to that, I was Chief Strategy Officer, and I joined the Burns Group after moving back to the US from Belgium, where we were for 4 years and where I was the Director of Integrated Marketing for Kraft in Europe.
Wow. So, and you've been back in the US now for, you said, for 4 years now?
No, now we've been back for how long? 10 years, actually. Oh. So yeah, I've been with the Burns Group for 10 years, years as Chief Strategy Officer, 3 years now as CEO. Okay.
So tell us what the Burns Group is all about, what you offer, who's your typical client, all those things. What sets you apart?
Sure. So Burns Group is both a brand consultancy and an advertising agency. So we have a strong strategic practice as well as a really strong creative practice. And we solve problems for brands at kind of every level. So in the case of strategy, it's often helping brands find their position in the market and really defining their brand in a way that allows them have the kind of growth that they require. On the creative side, it's bringing ideas to life in every form you can possibly imagine, from bringing brands onto TikTok to creating, broadcast campaigns, social, digital, you name it. So we have a pretty diverse set of clients, which is kind of one of the really fun parts about working in advertising, that you practice your craft, but you do it across a lot of different really interesting businesses. So, institutional clients like Columbia Business School, for instance, and on the far end of that, Labatt Beer from Buffalo, New York, and everything in between. So we work on a lot of health and wellness brands, food brands. We have a startup accelerator, so we work with a lot of young brands as well. But for the most part, I'd say we help brands who compete in really tough categories find their way to growth through strategic and creative, assets and great choices.
Interesting. And your work has worked on me because I have bought Labatt's beer. good brand, I might add.
Yeah, for sure.
So the pandemic hit about 11 months ago. Typically your companies that do what you do, they do a lot of meeting face-to-face, correct? Typically.
Meetings face-to-face, and we produce advertising by shooting advertising all over the place. Inside the US and outside. So our industry has been highly impacted by COVID, both from the way we do our own work and the fact that the clients that we work with have really suffered varying degrees of impact from COVID. So we have clients like Ricola cough drops, for instance, who, those products were selling out in March because of the fear of disease, but their factory in Switzerland was shut down and they were unable to make product for a certain amount of time. We have, so we had clients whose products couldn't be advertised because they were sold out. And then we had clients whose products could barely be sold because people weren't shopping in traditional channels. So it's been a really, I would say, diverse crisis for us in many ways, both in serving clients with different needs and figuring out our own workflows relative to only remote work, no face-to-face collaboration, the inability to produce work where we have large crews on set filming. Mm-hmm. So all of that has caused a lot of change and also a lot of innovation, I would say. So some positive outcomes, some negative.
Yeah, and actually, I've noticed a lot of companies have switched. It's not part of their brand, but they've switched their advertising to promote, the safety measures they provide and things like that. Have you noticed that too with your clients?
Yeah, I would say at the very beginning of the pandemic, brands were really unsure of what they should do, right? So some just did nothing. They just got quiet. Mm-hmm. Others, I think, dabbled in lots of different communications. But the most common communication at the early onset was all about, we're there for our community. Mm-hmm. Here's all the safety measures we're taking. And I will say, I think consumers really wore out on that pretty quickly. In fact, there was the compilation ad made from like 30 different advertisers as a spoof because they all use the same music, the same tone of voice, the same terminology of caring. So, I do think in general, this has been a year of crisis for many brands, whether it was the COVID pandemic, it was the Black Lives Matter movement and the murder of George Floyd. There was a Facebook ban, stop hate for profit. Brands have really struggled to respond authentically in their advertising in many ways this year. So on the upside of that, I think there's a lot of time for contemplation of best practices and really rethinking the way you go to market. And on the downside of that, there's been a lot of really bad advertising too done in the interim.
There has been some good.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, you're right. And then, so yeah. Now before the pandemic, were you literally going into the office every day, commuting in?
Yeah, well, we actually lived in New York City and I actually walked to my office every day, but yes, we had an office in New York City in Chelsea. And for the most part, all of our employees were on site, except for when they were traveling for work, whether that was they were at a client for a meeting mm-hmm. or they were flying somewhere to produce something, they were pitching a piece of business. So I would say at the office, except for when you were at someone else's office doing the work.
Wow.
So this is a big change.
Yeah, so you went 100%. And I know for a fact you're not in New York City now. So did you actually move out of New York? Are you one of the ones we've heard about?
Well, we did leave our apartment only honestly because it's small and it was really difficult for us to be working remotely together in a small space. And we have a son who's home with us as well. So it was just a practical decision. We didn't permanently move out. We're just not staying there right now. We're staying there infrequently.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you see eventually, you know, we are going to go back to what some semblance of normal. Do you see yourself going back to the city and reopening your office, or do you think you're going to keep up with this remote work?
You know, I think every company is going to face some choices around what does work look like post-pandemic, and how do we offer autonomy and flexibility to employees? Because I do think, well, so much of us crave that in-office interaction and we miss each other and we miss what happens when we're together. I think we've also all gotten used to a certain degree of autonomy. Mm-hmm. And the ability to say, hey, I've got 20 minutes between a meeting, I'm going to take a walk around the block, or mm-hmm. I'm going to put the laundry in, or I'm going to shop for my groceries online, or whatever it might be. I mean, so I think what the future looks like, I'm definitely someone I would say who's really open to flexible solutions. And I would love everyone in our company to feel like they have some choice. So ideally there would be times when we're together in an office and we will have an office. And I think, mm-hmm. You know, if there's people who want to work there every day of the week, I think that's great. But I do think we're going to have to think through some flexible transitions for people so that they feel like they can come together and be at the office when it really serves them. But if they're really more efficient at a moment in time working somewhere else, whether that's at home or, you know, sitting in a coffee shop somewhere, so be it. So I think a lot of companies are going to have to lean into that flexibility. And I saw Salesforce.com just announced a new like flexible work, return to work policy that I think is really leading edge, you know, to say, hey, you can choose. You can choose to work here 5 days a week. You can choose to work here 3 days a week. You can choose to work here 2 days a week. And I think they're setting the stage for what a lot of companies are going to have to be doing.
Yeah. And I mean, Salesforce, they just built that huge headquarters in downtown San Francisco. So I'm very familiar with that. And Twitter basically said, we're just going 100% remote, which is also in San Francisco, which, you know, I personally like because there's so much less traffic now here.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I will say in a creative business, like there are times where we really thrive as a team when we're together. Mm-hmm. You know, we love having sparky conversations. And we definitely are replicating that on Zoom to the best of our ability. But I do think a lot of us miss what happens when really smart people are together in a space and, you know, it's less planned and less rigid like it is on Zoom. So I don't think in person work is going to go away. I also feel like our client relationships, you know, I really miss being in front of clients. You know, mm-hmm. there's an intimacy to Zoom, like I'm in the living rooms or, you know, mm-hmm. bedrooms in some instances or offices of our clients. But, you know, we don't have that chance to really sit down and have a meal together or just have a casual conversation. Everything is so planned. And there's a consequence of that, I think, overall.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think especially when things, you know, things open up, I think you're going to see mass people coming together because they just really craving it. And then about a month or two later, it's going to be like, hey, wait a second, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah. I like having that flexibility to do whatever it is I need to do. I mean, we're also in a situation, a lot of our employees have young families. Mm-hmm. So honestly, the decision to go remote, and you know, I flashbacks to the day I had to make that call without a lot of information. A lot of that was also practical, you know, and the fact to stay home was practical because school was not reliable. Childcare was not reliable. Summer camp was not happening. Like all the things that working families rely on, working parents rely on, went away. So it's no choice. And honestly, a lot of those workers are really suffering because it's not easy to be doing remote school and doing your job and, you know, without the kind of help that you usually have. So I think there's an empathy that's come with this situation. You know, we all know what's going on in the background. You can't hide it. You know, when I was growing up in the business, you didn't talk about the fact that you were a parent. Like, as a young mother trying with a level of ambition, trying to make progress at work, it wasn't something I brought up in every meeting. Right. And now everyone's children are almost in every meeting. And so I think there's, you know, a lovely reality and empathy that could be gained from this circumstance, hopefully, versus, you know, the bias that can come with parenthood and all of that.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree. I think I've seen it myself that, you know, you do. Yeah, I mean, you understand, you feel for the person on the other end because they're trying so hard to be as professional as they can. And, you know, the four-year-old doesn't understand, right?
Nor should they have to. Like, right. If they need something to eat, they need something to eat.
Right. I agree. Yeah. So,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. And since, I mean, what you do is a very collaborative job, right? Have you taken advantage of some of the collaborative tools that are out there now? You know, like one offhand is Miro. If you're familiar with Miro, So do you guys do that, or do you strictly rely on Zoom?
Well, I would say we're a Slack heavy company, so there's a lot of collaboration that happens on Slack. I will say, because we have always had international clients, Zoom has been something we have used for workshops for many, many years. So we were, I would say, early adopters of a lot of the tools that exist for remote meetings, whether that's whiteboarding techniques or the ability to push people into separate sections and come back. That was something that was already part of our workflows, because if you're working on a brand strategy assignment for a global brand and they have people on every continent, the likelihood of you being face-to-face for a meeting like that is slim. And so instead you do it from 9 p.m. to 3 o'clock in the morning on a couple of days, and it's done through that techniques. We also have always had some remote team members for our team. So one of our top strategists lives in Australia. We have a digital strategist now in Colorado. We've always accommodated, I think, people working from other places when the need was there. So I don't think we had to rethink our tool set too much at that time.
Very good. Well,
yeah.
I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. I wish you luck in 2021. It seems like things are starting to pick up. So hopefully 2021 will be a good year for you and the Burns Group.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Well, thank you again.